This morning's scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 through 31, and Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is God's word.
In these two passages of scripture from the great prophecy of Isaiah that has been turned to such rich and classic music, and also from the 11th chapter of Matthew, these two sections really are, you could lay one down on the other, parallel sections. There is God addressing a problem that we don't generally think about, that's not often seen, but very real, common to us all. It goes by certain names, but here described in both passages very distinctly by the words chosen of these writers, as a problem of weariness. Lots of people leave the city during the summer. Someone riding on the subway the other day said, where are all the people? Well, just wait for the next train. But around April and May and early June, we often hear, I'm just exhausted, I've got to get away, I've been in this grind for 9 months, I need a vacation. I need a change of venue. And vacations are great for people who are working hard. And vacations are great for people who are exhausted. And vacations often solve the issue and problem. A vacation will not solve this one. This is on a different level. And the words actually used, as we will see, point this out if we look very, very carefully. So, though we may not recognize it as a major issue and problem, God did in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, and Jesus very definitely did in this passage from Matthew chapter 11. Let's look at the nature of weariness. Let's look at the cause, and then let's spend time thinking about the cure that both Isaiah present very clearly, directly, and what Jesus presents by way of his invitation to us, the nature of weariness. First of all, it touches everyone at one time or another. It's, as someone said, the exhaustion of striving. It even affects the young and the young men of Isaiah chapter 40. The verb used here indicates that these were picked uniquely and specifically because of bodily prowess and strength. But Isaiah is saying, no matter who you are, you're not exempt from this issue, and I think we will see that. This is not physical tiredness and exhaustion. Hard work, which so many of you are doing, long, long hours, it does not necessarily produce weariness. It can, but it not necessarily. The reason why we know that God, through Isaiah, is speaking about this issue is because of the unique Hebrew words. For example, in verse 29, the word for weary, and in verse 30, the word for tired, are the same word generally in the Hebrew talks about physical tiredness. That's not the same word used in verse 30, which is like sheep that are hurried and scattered and upset. It is indicating something more, a kind of recurring problem that it is not really acute, but it just keeps coming at you. Weariness of this sort I suppose we could say, sort of like low-grade anxiety. It's not the real full-blown thing, anxiety, that cripples and actually can bring disorientation to the mind and to the life. And neither is it sort of a paralyzing fear. It's back in intensity from that, and we might say, well, then it's not quite as acute, but it is very definitely a difficulty and a problem that God says should not be there, and it's there because of something that has gone wrong. It's the nagging, debilitating influence of something that keeps coming at you. It's like what the writers of the Old Testament say. It's like little foxes that spoil the vineyard. You build the best stone wall you possibly can. You put a guard there. You keep the enemy out. You may have some way of keeping disease out. But the little foxes find a way through. And they just keep coming. It is something that is continuing. Matthew specifically, by the power of the Spirit, uses a Greek word kopio, which indicates this is recurring. It is always there. It's a continuous action, the present tense. It is like dripping water. It affects us in some kind of a troubling situation over and over again. Living under someone else's expectations that is impossible to fulfill, like in a job. You're qualified for the job, but the expectation that your superior has is more, and you just feel sort of this burden of it, and you just can't get on top of it. And you bring it home, and sometimes you can avoid it, but it just kind of keeps coming up. Or like a parent's expectation, that it is there. It's not really acute. You continue to function, but you just always, you become weary of it. Like a young man who wants to be an artist and his parents keep pressuring him to be a physician. It's that kind of thing. Generally, it has to do with people, and it is definitely exacerbated here in New York with our kind of lifestyle. Because we don't have time to catch up with it, and just sort of comes back. We don't have time to reflect, like what I think we should be doing now, especially as we sit in before the face of God today and hear His Word. We don't have time for that because of our lifestyle. I think Virginia Brazier wrote it well in her poem about this. She wrote it a long time ago, but it's amazingly up to date about New York. She said, This is the age of the half-read page and the quick hash and the mad dash, the bright night with the nerves tight, the plane hop and a brief stop, the lamp tan in a short span, the big shot in a good spot, and the brain strain and the heart pain and the cat naps till the spring snaps and the fun's done. We don't have time, really, in our busyness to kind of reflect upon what some of these pressures, these continue recurring pressures are on us that ultimately end up wearing us down. That is not the way God intended for your life to be lived. And there is a dimension of this that is really critical, and it has to do, as you would imagine, coming from the Old Testament and New Testament, coming from Isaiah and Jesus. It has to do with our relationship to God. It has to do with religion. Because what Jesus is describing here is the heavy load of rules and regulation placed on the common people by the scribes and the Pharisees, saying to them over and over again that there are certain things you have to observe, and they are adding more and more all the time, and they were trying and trying to keep up. And there is uncertainty and kind of a gnawing anxiety and despair. Matthew 23:4 says, Jesus is saying, these teachers tie heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, loads they can't even carry themselves. And this can be our situation. And it may be your situation. And you've come out of this kind of a background, and you've come here to New York and maybe gotten away from religion a little bit and Christianity a little bit, and now you've got to get back, but you're feeling the pressure, and you've got to kind of keep up. And you know there's some kind of rules about this whole thing called Christianity you got to deal with. It is amazing how many times people have come to me and said, I used to be weary about trying to do all this, and it is amazing how much freedom I now have in Christ, having come to believe in Him. It can be wearisome. In fact, I think what Isaiah would say, or what God would say through Isaiah, and what Jesus would say, there's probably nothing quite as wearisome as religion can be. What about the cause of weariness? Well, there are some situations that are just caused by circumstances that can be changed. And we need the courage to look them in the face and say, this is not good for me. I need to make a change. I need to get out of that job. I've talked to some of you like that. It's just wearing. And, oh, I can do it. And I can work the long hours, but it's the wearisomeness that is getting to me. We have some friends in Denver, and the mother was awfully concerned about her son who has asthma. And so she was just all the time hovering over him and protecting him, and the other boys could go out and he couldn't go out, and a special kind of diet, and you know, it produced in him some strange things. And there was a weariness about that. The amazing thing is that when he left home and went away to college, he didn't have asthma anymore. So if you have a certain kind of problem, just go early away to college or something like that. But you can see that this weariness can come from all different kinds of directions. And it's can be put on you. And if you come to those same circumstances, you ought to get out of it. But that's not where it really is in terms of most of our concern for this. Actually, I think that Isaiah would say, God would say through Isaiah, and Jesus would say, there's something that we're contributing. There's something that we're contributing, maybe not to the circumstances, but the way we respond to the circumstances. In Isaiah's time, they had grown weary. They had grown weary about the whole common life that they had. And what happened to them was that they had come under the discipline of God, and the whole nation, or most of the whole nation, was carried away captivity. And this 40th chapter is the beginning of the restoration and the beautiful prophecy, starting with comfort, comfort ye my people, in the first part of the chapter, all the way through the end of the chapter. There is this great restoration literature, which is a picture of what Jesus is actually fulfilling as the coming king. But this wearisomeness of these people was not due because God had failed them. Actually, he had been their protector and provider all these centuries. And he just keeps telling them that. And they keep forgetting. And so they become determined that both in the life of the nation politically and the life of the nation economically and the life of the nation in terms of social activities and family situations, they are saying to God, thank you very much, but we can handle things on our own. We can handle everything without recourse to you. And here is also the same situation in terms of what Jesus is saying. This is why he is saying in the first part of the passage, let me tell you who I am. Let me tell you also that what you are doing in trying to solve your own problem, even by adhering to all these laws, is not necessary. And in that sense, if you're trying to do this, you are self-directed. You are determining what's important and what is not important. So in both cases, the situation is the same. Now, let's just push this down a little deeper. We obviously put expectations on ourselves. We think of the good life as being this, and we put expectations on it, but often we can't meet them. We strive to the point of weariness to be, especially here in the Northeast, New York, to be attractive. And that must be, for both men and women, a kind of a burden to keep that up. This is why, you know, when you go away on vacation, you take your old clothes and you don't have to do all that kind of thing. It's because we sense that is an enormously high value here. And this is, we want people to believe in us and accept us. And we need to be witty and smart and to be successful and even times moral and good. And it is this situation that enables us to be accepted, we think. And so we keep this up. It's okay in so many respects. I'm not slamming all these different things. It's okay to keep it up until it becomes so, it drives you so centrally, so with such high focus, that it's wearisome. Somehow, this scene needs to change. We need to say, okay, this is happening to me in my office. This is happening to me in my marriage. This is happening to me even physically, that can be so debilitating and wearing upon us. Reoccurring problems of the physical nature. It's just, but we need to say, I can't handle this. I wasn't even meant to be able to handle this. Otherwise, if I was, why does Isaiah say, put your hope in someone else? Which was read. Or why does Jesus say, Everything's fine? Go ahead then. You're not weary? Why is Jesus saying there's got to come a significant, deep lifestyle change in you? So deep that it actually talks about a different identity. You have an identity. I have an identity. Take mine. I've been through that before. Let's think about that. And expectations from others in a relationship. I know of marriages where there's expectation from one partner to the other. And you know, one partner wants to make over another partner. That's a very bad sign of going into a marriage. And we make over another partner, and you just can't seem to do it. It becomes weary, and people say, I'm just weary of this. It's like the slow dropping of the water on the stone. Give enough time, give enough repetition, it'll make a hole in the stone. I don't care how hard the stone. Now, what about the cure? Both very simple, yet very profound, in both this great prophetic passage and also in the gracious invitation of Jesus. What is this cure? Well, look at the invitation itself. This invitation, by its very nature, says, stop looking inward and start looking outward. Look to someone else. Don't look inward for emotional, spiritual, physical, psychological well-being. We hear the voice of Isaiah saying, put your hope in God. And a result of that is you're going to walk and not grow weary. You're going to run. And let me tell you something else. You're going to be so transformed by taking on my life and my ways that you're actually going to soar. See, the idea of weariness and soaring are 10,000 miles apart. So the invitation from God in Isaiah is, put your hope in the Lord. And Jesus comes and says, I know, laboring under the burden of these scribes and Pharisees, the heavy load they have put on you, all the things they have fixed to you that you must do, or you're not going to ever merit the favor of the Father. I know that. Now give up. Change your allegiance to me. Place your life in my hands. Take my yoke. Learn of me. Because everything has been committed to me by the Father. I and the Father are one. We live in harmonious relationship. And everyone that the Father gives me will come to me. I have strength. I have authority. I have power. I have blessing. Come to me. It's a pretty big decision. In some ways, it's kind of a scary decision to really come to Jesus, because you can't come and remain where you are. You got to take on his yoke. You got to learn from him. You must believe in him. The characteristics of Jesus are amazing in this passage, and especially when you look at Isaiah and you look at Jesus. In the passages of Isaiah 40 onward, you see this glorious kingdom that is going to be restored to Israel, which is a picture of the restoring of all things in the new kingdom that Jesus is bringing. And you think the only way for this to really happen is for there to be a very strong upfront, dynamic, political, astute, influential, well-prepared leader. Someone who would rule with power. But the person that you're challenged to come to actually gave up power. He is the humble servant spoken of in Isaiah chapter 53, speaking of his death. But generally speaking, when other people thought of the Messiah, they thought of someone very, very, very different. As a humble servant, he would die in loneliness, forsaken by all. So he understands who you are and what you go through. He understood the real barrier to a life of lightness rather than weightiness is because there is a destructive barrier called evil and sin. And he went as the humble servant of Jehovah into the jaws of death and hell so you may not ever have to do that or to be fearful of that, so that you don't have to keep struggling to be right with God, because in that dynamic life lived in perfection for you and that unbelievable death in your place, all of God's demands were satisfied. And there is nothing more for you to do. So come into his life. Take on his yoke. Learn from him. Learn that it doesn't matter what other people may think, that reputation is not all that important for his reputation. Speaking of reputation, was not to be favored or to be held onto, but he willingly gave it up. So he is saying, learn of me. Start a lifetime of journey, really an eternal journey with me. And to learn of Jesus is to follow in his ways. How did he handle this? How did he handle that? And to cope with difficulties, as well as successes, actually, with his identity, his power, his grace, his love, his humbleness, his gentleness, his perspective. It really means put your hope in God. Change identities. Put your trust. Come to Jesus. Come to me, he said, all ye who labor and really are heavy laden. And this is a reoccurring, fresh supply of God's resources. When Isaiah uses the word renew, and Jesus uses the word rest, both are interpreted, when you look at the original language, both are interpreted to mean a refreshing, a continuous refreshing that comes from Christ as we take his yoke, learn of him, and follow him. Even to cope in difficult situations, and the supply of God's grace can never be exhausted, and he blesses us continuously in our lives as we seek to cope, to actually leave the uncommon life. It's not one thing he brings at a certain moment. It's 100% of the time, the well of his blessing has no bottom. It is always new. It is always refreshing to us. How do we apply this? Maybe you, in all sincerity, have been striving to be a good and moral person. The outward observance of the rules will ultimately, though, bring you to a point where you say, I'm not sure this is working. And in fact, the opposite. I'm just weary of this situation. Jesus says to you, I have lived the life you should have lived, and I paid for your wrong, and I have unlimited resources. come to me. Take my life upon you. I will live in you, you will live in me. There will be a connection, there will be a resource that will enable you to leave off this feeling of weariness. I'm not saying it never occurs, because the Christian life is a life of ongoing trust. It's not a life of perfection until the perfecter of all life, Jesus, returns. But there is always the amazingly deep resources that Jesus Christ can give. He's saying, yes, it's important for you to obey my teaching, but I'm really saying to you, come to me and learn of me and interact with me. I have the resources, the refreshing, continuous resources that you need. Here's another application. Let me be a little personal. I have at times been under the plague of weariness because I have wanted to be successful in the eyes of others. Some of you feel a little bit of touching and pain right here, right now. And I can drive myself, and I have driven myself. And I can work night and day. And this is an endless cycle. I work harder, but the burden of weariness grows even greater and grows even heavier. And I cannot let anyone see my weakness or my vulnerability. I must keep a front, because my identity at that moment is tied to what someone thinks of me. In being yoked to Jesus, I already know what the most important person in the universe thinks of me. He thinks good of me. He calls me brother. He's completely covered everything that I've ever done wrong. I can admit my weakness. I can admit my need. And I can admit it not only to him, but to others around me. In this sense, the heavy yoke of acceptance is placed by the beautiful, light yoke of Jesus, who is unbelievably meek and humble and considerate. And if he wants me to stay in a situation, he will give me the grace to endure and to be successful and yet be at peace. In the Isaiah passage, he says, put your hope in the Lord, and this is what will happen. This refreshing resource will be available to you. And even if you're young and you grow weary, or old and you grow weary, or even if you're in a hard situation marriage-wise, or in a troubled situation at the office, or you have expectations that are wearing on you, these are the three things you will be able to do. You'll be able to walk, really describing the ordinary daily routine of life, some of which can get you down, but it doesn't necessarily. You keep walk with renewed, refreshing, resourceful strength that Jesus gives. You'll be able to run in those special exceptions where you need exceptional energy and there's exceptional demands. They're not all the time, but they are there fairly often where you need special kinds of resource, special insights, special strength, special ability to turn off criticism. But something else, What's amazing about this passage? You're not only going to be able to walk and run, but at times you are going to soar. Transforming moments when we are caught up in something beyond ourselves, beyond our understanding, beyond our ability to comprehend, caught up in some great moment, in some great idea, in some great passion, in some great work. In the North Island of Nova Scotia, there's a beautiful and wonderful place to see the eagles soar. And for the life of me, you just can't imagine an eagle burdened down by worry. This is the weight of weariness. There is the lightness of a soaring eagle. This is the weight of weariness. Here we have the lightness of Christ's yoke and Christ's burden. Let us pray. Into all of our lives, these situations come. Sometimes they come and sometimes they go. Sometimes they linger. And sometimes we find ourselves saying, I just wish this was over. I am so weary. Help us to come to Jesus, the great well of water where there is no bottom, a refreshing stream that will satisfy, a source of strength that can never be exhausted. Help us to take on his yoke, even anew today as your people, and to learn of him. For we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.